Isn't it an interesting thing in the gospel that this scholar of the law stood up to test Jesus? We know that Jesus is God, second person of the Trinity, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. And as Paul calls him, the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. And this learned scholar put him to the test. How many of us here this morning or this afternoon would intentionally put God to the test? How many would knowingly try to trap Jesus Christ into following our lead? No hands going up. That's good. But hold on to that thought, because there just might be some of us here who are doing just that. But back to the scholar in the gospel. In his defense, I will allow that he probably is not sure that Jesus is God, but he certainly has his suspicions. And that's why he's testing him in the first place. And if he can trap Jesus in a battle of words, then Jesus will be forced to reveal himself either as God or as opposer. Faith isn't enough for the scholar. And it seems like it's not enough for some Catholics today. This guy has just stepped into a battle of wits with the creator of the universe. And isn't it brilliant how Jesus handles it? With a simple question, he gets the scholar to answer his own question. By the end of the parable, it's evident that the guy already knows the answer. And down inside, he has a strong suspicion that Jesus is, in fact, the Messiah, or he would not bother to test him this way. The scholar has no real excuse for his position in the matter. And he's not acting in love or mercy. As it said in the gospel, he's trying to justify himself. How much of that goes on in our own lives? Justification. There are a lot of questions today. Questions that seem very hard to answer. And they're serious questions for sure, because they deal with our response to our neighbors. Questions regarding the homeless, immigrants, marriage, divorce, sexual deviation, abortion, euthanasia, and much more. We cry out to others to give us the answers to these real questions. We turn to presidents, politicians, judges, clergy, famous figures, sports figures, Hollywood, and we miss the truth that Jesus declares in the gospel, in this parable. The answer to these and to all similar questions of what we are to do what is right. We, like the scholar, already know what is right. So the answer to these questions is to embrace love and mercy and do what is right. Listen again to the words in the first reading. "For this command I give you today, says the Lord, is not too mysterious and remote for you. It is not unreachable up in the sky. It is not far away across the sea. No, it is something very near to you, already in your mouths and in your hearts. You have only to carry it out." In our baptism, we receive the general gift of the Holy Spirit. In confirmation, we received specific gifts of the Holy Spirit, specific to us. The first of these gifts was for our salvation, and the second for us to use for the salvation of the world. So we are equipped. Imagine standing before Jesus when our time comes and he calls our behavior into light. And our whole reply, our response, our complete justification for what we have done or left undone in this life is, "Well, Jesus, that's what somebody else told me to do." How do we think that would go over with the author of life? who has become human, taught us all we need to know, established a church to carry his truths through time, died horribly to open the way to heaven for us, and sent his Spirit within us to make evident everything we need to know. How do we think such an answer would go over? Who here would go to our boss who is dissatisfied with our performance on the job and say to him, "I did what somebody else told me to do"? How would that go over? How surprising would it be to hear him or her say, "Hey, I put you in this position to do what I need you to do, not what somebody else wants you to do"? What has happened in our country to our ability to act instead of just reacting? It seems, at least to me, that there are too many baptized and confirmed Catholics who have too comfortably settled themselves in the mentality of the 12 apostles before Pentecost, before they were equipped. Before Pentecost, they loved Jesus, and they wanted to be with him and to somehow serve him. But they lacked the understanding and the courage that would come when the Holy Spirit entered them in the upper room. Once with the Holy Spirit, it all changed for them. And once in sacramental life, it all changes for us as well. And in this, all excuses to the contrary fall by the wayside. The hard questions of today have simple answers when approached in the light of God. In every situation, do the right thing. Do what ought to be done. We already know the answers. Jesus said clearly, "I came to do the will of my Father." And therein lies the answer to all questions. So God dwells within us, and we have only to carry it out. We can't claim ignorance of what is right, and we can't place it in someone else's hands and exonerate ourselves. Quite literally, we have no excuse for not knowing or doing what is right. Jesus put the scholar in a position where he had to think, and he had to think for himself. And because of what I've just reminded you of about the Holy Spirit living in us and giving us gifts and grace and awareness, we find ourselves in the very same position as the scholar. We must think, and think for ourselves in light of the Spirit of truth that is already within us. Now, I've said some tough things this morning, so let me end with the reiteration of the good news. The core of Jesus' parable is love and mercy. Jesus treated the 12 and all of his followers and all he encountered with love and mercy. In our imperfect efforts to serve him and to do the will of the Father, as we strive to do the right thing, we have his love and his mercy. Hard questions remain with us until Jesus returns. Until then, we know what Jesus does. We know what he expects. Go and do likewise.